This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I am your host, Belinda Gale, and our show features interviews with wonderful guests, as well as gospel, inspirational, and patriotic music with a definite Western flair. Today's guest is a woman I have admired for many years, and I'm so honored to have her on the show today. But before we bring on our guest, let's please enjoy a song by one of our mutual, very dear friends, Gene Prescott, Give Me Jesus.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me
Give me Jesus.
Oh my gosh, Gene just does a beautiful job on it. Oh, love it. Well, I first met this delightful lady through her late husband, the incomparable Larry McWhorter. And though our paths have only crossed a few times, I have long admired her strength and complete trust in and devotion to our Lord and her dedication to use the challenges and losses in her life to encourage and uplift other women and actually develop it into a full-blown women's ministry. Please welcome to our show, city girl turned rancher's wife, Andrea Waitley. Welcome, Andrea. Andrea.
Hello,
sorry.
Belinda. Yes, that's okay. Andrea, yes. I'm used to telling people it's Andrea, not Andrea. So thank you so much for that sweet introduction. And I always think about how much I love to look at your sweet face.
Oh, you're sweet. I think we first met in your living room.
I think so. Yes, and then, but I really remember us having real conversations, especially around the Lord in Rio Doso.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Your sweet late husband was there performing.
Yeah, like yes. You were in kind of a with that grandbaby, and I just remember your tender heart and the concern and compassion that you had at that time.
Oh, you're sweet. You're sweet. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I just so admire you, and I'm so excited to have you on the show and learn more about you. I mean, we've had a few chances to visit and talk, but not, you know, really, really get to know each other. And so this is going to be really fun to just kind of delve into
yes,
that this
is.
Morning. It is. And
yes,
one
it
of the
is.
Things
get
that
a cup
I really
of coffee
love,
and we'll just enjoy it.
I know. Everybody go grab a cup of coffee quick.
That's right.
We're going to have a good time this morning. So one of the things that you emailed to me, thank you so much for emailing me a little bio so I can get a little more information for about you. But I was so interested to hear what a big influence that your grandmother had on your life. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, it was really my great-grandma. I called her Granny. I would be nearly every Saturday night with her and be ready to go to church the next day. She always taught me we start going to church on Saturday night. And that meant getting our clothes ready. And, of course, my mom did the same thing, too. I don't want to take away from my mother's.
Have we lost him, Andrea? Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Are you there?
Yes. Yes.
I couldn't hear you there for a minute. Like you're kind of coming in and out a little
bit. I'm sorry. Well,
we
had a big feed truck go by. Sometimes that interferes. Messes up. Can you hear? Where did you lose me?
Well, on the getting ready on Saturday night, and then you were kind of coming in and out, and then you just left. I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, we would get ready on Saturday nights, and you know, she would just say, "You get your little clothes ready," and my mom would do the same thing. We always got ready for church on Saturday night. That meant we had everything laid out. But what I was saying is, my great grandmother taught me how to love God's word. She would read Bible stories to me, and she would not. It wasn't that she would tell me they were stories. She would tell me this is the truth. And so I was raised knowing that God's word is inerrant, infallible, trustworthy. It is God-breathed. It is his word. And we don't vote on whether or not we believe it.
Wow. Wow. So you grew up with a deep understanding of that the word of God was the truth, and it wasn't, these aren't just Bible stories.
Right, right. I mean, if the word said that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish, then Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. and Jesus even referred to that. He said, when Jonah was swallowed by the fish. Well, Jesus said he came to tell us the truth. Well, if that was not a true story, that would have been Jesus' opportunity to say, hey, guys, y'all got it wrong. That really didn't happen. Let me tell you. And he didn't. Yes. He verified it.
Right. So that's wonderful. Now, one of the things that you also mentioned was how you were tell us about that Easter service when you wanted to take communion.
Oh, well, it was before Easter. It was a few weeks before Easter, and I was, you know, in the Methodist church, you take communion the first Sunday of every month. And this is the first time I remember that. I was about 5 years old. And I saw my mother and my great-grandmother get up and my dad, everybody going to take communion. So I got up and Granny took my hand. She goes, now you wait here. You're not ready for this. And I thought, well, I want refreshments, you know, because I thought that's what they were getting. And so anyway, she told me that she said, I will explain to you later why you have to wait. And I said, okay. A few weeks later, it was Easter Sunday, and she had spent the night with us, and I was piled up in the bed with her. And I said, Granny, you said you would tell us the story. You would tell us what communion is. And she began to share about, she goes, you know that Jesus, I'd heard all the stories of Jesus doing miracles and, you know, his birth and all of those things. But Belinda, I had no idea they killed him. I had no idea he had hung on a cross, and that he hung on a cross because my sin put him there. Mm. And as a five-year-old little girl, I was shocked. I was amazed that someone would die in my place, because even at five, I knew I had done things that were not right and that Jesus had been punished for those things.
Wow. Wow. What a
yes.
gift your grandmother put in your life. Isn't that amazing? Wow.
Yes.
That made me tear up.
I know, it does me too every time I tell it, because I just think about her faithfulness, you know, to tell the truth.
And to sit down with a five-year-old and not just blow you off, you know, to really just sit down and talk to you.
Exactly.
An inspiration to parents who are listening or grandparents that are listening, you know, answer these children's questions. Don't be afraid to really delve into the meat of the word with the little ones. They can
understand way more than you think they can.
Well, we're going to listen to another song here really quick by Kip Callahan and Susie Kilman. And I really love it. It's called Two in the Saddle, and it's just a wonderful little song. That'll take us into our next segment. So here's Kip and Susie.
Sundown by the campfire after a long day driving cattle. Black coffee and counting the stars one by one. Telling stories and dreaming of home and places you ain't never been. But it's a little bit of heaven here on earth when there ain't no fence to mend. But have you ever been a lonesome cowboy wishing that you had a friend? Thirsting for water in the desert, riding against the wind. When your heart cries out and you're needing love, have you ever tried looking to him? When the Lord's in your heart, there's two in the saddle and you'll never ride alone again. Half moon in the rearview mirror and 100 more miles to go. Cross country in a pickup truck, headed for the rodeo. bussin' bulls and buckin' bronks is wearing you a little thin. But it's a little bit of heaven here on earth when it's your turn to win.
But have you ever been a lonesome cowboy wishing that you had a friend? Thirsting for water in the desert, riding against the wind. When your heart cries out and you're needing love, have you ever tried looking to Him? When the Lord's in your heart, there's two in the saddle and you'll never ride alone again.
Such a beautiful job on that song. It's so nice. Yes, they do. So if another truck drives by, then we'll just like jump to the next song real fast, Andrea.
Okay. Well, I've moved into the center of the kitchen, so maybe it won't affect us. I'm sitting on a stool in the middle of my kitchen.
I have a total visual of that.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here in my little sweatsuit in the middle of my kitchen on a stool. So.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you're comfortable.
I am. I'm fine.
Oh, good. Well, I am so impressed that at the precious, tender little age of 5 that you were actually able to really take in and understand that the Lord died on the cross for you, a little 5-year-old.
Yes, that's
pretty amazing. So bring us forward as your walk with the Lord from then on is, did you stay with it through the teens? Did you stray from it? I mean, a lot of people come and go.
Oh, I strayed. I know. And that, you know, and I think, and I'll tell you in a second about that. I was really 15 when I came into that full understanding that I had to respond to that, you know. As a 5-year-old, I didn't know that I needed to respond to what Jesus had done for me. And so as a 15-year-old, the gospel was once again clearly presented, and I responded to that and just was just once again amazed that Jesus would die for me and that he would take the punishment that I should have taken. But what I didn't understand at that time, Belinda, and I don't know that in our American culture we have understood this clearly, that it is lordship salvation, that he is Lord and Savior. He's not Savior and Lord. And I kept finally, after many years of back and forth and in and out and up and down, the Lord finally brought me to that understanding of that he is Lord first. We don't make him Lord. That's who he is. And coming to salvation means that I submit myself to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that means that he has the right to rule and reign over my life. And that it really is about his will, not mine.
Wow. And that is so true. And that's a big epiphany for people.
It is.
I think once you can grasp that, then it makes all the other pieces fall into place. And it all makes sense then.
Exactly.
Until then, it's like we're struggling against it.
Until
you
understand
it. Yes. That's our nature, isn't it? To struggle
against
it. Yes,
it is. It's like, but I want to be God. I would be really good at it.
I know what needs
to be
done. I've got this.
Right.
Well, one of the the things that you mentioned that really kind of piqued my interest is you talked about a failed 20-year marriage, and in it you said that it was because of the hardness of your heart. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes. It was a marriage that I was married when I was 19, and it was, there was lots of parts of it that were good, but there were parts that were very hard, and I reached a place where I just refused to believe God anymore for that marriage. And it was after, you know, and once you, if you ever come to that place of refusing to believe God, then the enemy, Satan, the devil, has, he has access to us, because that's all he wants is for us to quit believing God, and then he can convince us of his lies. And and that's what happened. It's like, okay, you can't believe God for this marriage anymore, so look what I have for you. And I fell for that lie, hook, line, and sinker. And it was later, after the Lord brought me back to himself, and really through Larry, as the Lord restored my fellowship with him, that that I saw that it was because of the hardness of my heart. And that's what Jesus said. He goes, he told the Pharisees, you want divorce because your hearts are hard. And for me, I mean, I know there are other people who, I mean, there's the biblical reasons of unfaithfulness or abuse and all those kinds of things. But I had to be honest. You know, mine came, my marriage failed because of my own hardness of heart.
Wow. Wow. And all of us are vulnerable to that. Each and every one of us are vulnerable to that. You have to be mindful and vigilant to be really looking at that and weighing that. It's just that's part of the submission to lordship that you were talking about earlier, which is so hard for us.
Yeah, well, then you know, Hebrews warns us of that, to watch our hearts and not be deceived by the deceitfulness, you know, of sin.
And it's being in the Word, I think, is the only way that we can be watchful about that. Because I think
within
our own minds, within our own, just trying to reason things out within our, not that we're not intelligent, but it's through the Word and through the quickening of the Spirit that when the Word is made alive and as we're going, walking through things, I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but it's like I'll have read a scripture a million times and it just kind of like, oh, that's, you know, nice. But then all of a sudden it just like comes alive because it's very relevant now all of a sudden to what's going on in my life. And you have to open that book up and read it to get that nugget, to get that direction.
Yes, you do.
So it's really hard to walk this life without having the Word in your life on a daily basis. I totally agree
I believe
with that.
It's impossible. I think it's impossible. You can't walk in a manner worthy of the gospel without knowing what God says in his Word.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk, before we go to the next song, let's talk a little bit about your sweet late husband. And first, we'll talk about him a little more after the song, but how did you and Larry meet?
We met at Ruidoso. I just meet the most wonderful people at Ruidoso, New Mexico. It used to be really fun. I haven't been in years, but I met him there. I was, you know, divorced at the time, and I was just, you remember Larry, he was captivating, he was charming, and he was kind, and he was good, and his poetry was amazing, and he was just, and besides that, he was a great dancer. bottom line was he was a really good dancer, and at that time, he was living and working in the Grand Canyon, and of course, I was living in Texas, it was one of those, you know, and I don't encourage this, but it literally was one of those relationships that we fell in love at first sight. I can still remember, his taking my hand, and I can still remember the feel of that and knowing that that's where I belonged.
Wow.
And he, you know, people talk about what a great, good, kind person he was, and he really was that person. I mean, that was not a facade. That's who he was.
That was my impression of Larry the first time I ever met him, is that you really got the impact was this kind, gentle spirit that was authentic. It was exactly. Everything.
Exactly. That's funny you said that. That's exactly the word I was thinking. Authentic. He was.
So authentic to the core. Well, another gentleman that is very similar to your sweet late husband is my brother in the Lord, R.W. Hampton.
Amen.
And I love the song of that he does called In the Shadow of the Cross.
Yes.
In the shadow of the cross, I have finally found some peace. As I journey up the rocky road of life, it offers shelter and relief. Through the mountains and the valleys, it marks the way so I'm not lost. As I travel up this deep and narrow trail, in the shadow of the cross, in the shadow of the cross, that's where I lay my burdens down. And when the flood of doubts come rolling in, it's my place of higher ground. God, help me to remember that precious blood that stains the tree. God, grant that I may never forget that precious blood was shed for me. In the shadow of the cross, oh, the healing power there. Freedom from the pain that life may bring, there's only comfort and care. For a bright and mighty promise, it was there he paid the that the Master had to give in the shadow of the cross. In the shadow of the cross, that's where I lay my burdens down. And when the flood of doubts come rolling in, it's my place of higher ground. That precious blood that stains the tree. God grant that I may never forget that precious blood was shed for me. In the shadow of the cross, it was all done for me.
Oh, it's a great song that R.W. wrote. I think he and your late husband were kind of cut from the same cloth.
They were, and they were great friends. I'll never forget R.W. making that long trip to be at Larry's Celebration of Life service. That's just the kind of man R.W. is, and then Lisa, his wife, is just like him.
Just precious, precious. They're very precious friends of mine as well. Just love them, and I just loved your husband, still do, your Larry. I mean, he just, and I don't know. Part of it, I think, is when you know someone who loves the Lord, who is a real working cowboy, because R.W. was for many years, and Larry was as well. The cowboy culture does not allow them to be anything but authentic. If anybody,
I think you're right.
Pretentious, or they get too full of themselves, the other cowboys are going to knock that out of them really fast.
That's right, or a good horse will too. Yeah, or some renegade cow. But I mean, trust me, there's plenty out there to keep them humble.
Keep them humble, isn't that the truth? So
yes.
You and Larry married. I mean, how long did you guys date before you actually got married?
Oh, don't ask me that. I don't think we ever really dated. it was about 6 months before we married. Five or six.
And then you had your beautiful little Abigail, your beautiful daughter.
Yes, and we had Abigail, who will be 20 years old in a little over a week.
Oh, my gosh, that's hard to believe.
It is for me, too.
Well, yes. I remember visiting with y'all at your house, and we were just kind of talking and visiting, and it was so funny because I don't even know why it came up, but Larry was talking about how y'all would get up in the morning and go through your prayer list and pray for people that were on your prayer list. And he was, I don't know if he wasn't really complaining. He was just like, I was just telling Andrea that, man, that we're adding them on quicker than we're crossing them off. You know, their prayers are being answered. That list is getting longer and longer.
Yes. And it continues to be that way. But you know, Belinda, there's just never not anything to pray about. I mean,
isn't that the truth?
Yes.
If we ever think we're out, we're
not paying attention.
We're not paying attention. I actually found an app that you can put on your phone. It's a prayer list app. Can you believe that? Because I have people, I'll be talking with people when I'm on the road and at shows, and we'll get to talking about a relative or a son or a husband or brother who's deployed or a woman, you know, a sister that's deployed in fighting over in the Middle East, and, you know, please keep them in your prayers. And I take that very seriously. I don't just go, I don't just pay lip service to it, but I tell somebody I'm going to pray for them. I do. And so I have, so it's hard to keep track of that. So now I have a little app on my phone.
Well, that's a great idea. I'm going to tell my husband Frank now. He's a great prayer warrior, too. I'll have to tell him about that. But you're right. I mean, there's these people, you know, like you said, we do meet these people, and they're hurting. There's so many hurting people, and they're everywhere. I mean, they're everywhere. I just got a prayer request from a young woman who just lost her husband suddenly and left two small children, and you're going, oh my gosh, I know the aching of her soul. And so there's never a reason not to pray.
Yes. No, there's always, but Larry was so cute about that. He was just adorable about that. And I remember too, let's kind of fast forward he was just so wonderful and witty and genuine and just a cut up at time. His wit was amazing. I just loved
it. Oh my God, yes.
It was just rapier. It was just like whoosh.
Exactly. Yeah, and you better be listening or you'd miss it. Yeah.
And you miss it. Yeah, so quick. And actually, Curly and I had just barely started singing together, and we were on the same show with Larry in Monterey. And he was complaining about his back was bothering him, and he was going to be seeing his chiropractor when he got home from Monterey, and that was in December. And oh my gosh, the next thing we hear, Andrea, is he is terminal with cancer, and that's
right.
What the backache had been. Our entire Western community was just devastated. It was like, not Larry. I mean, not anybody, but oh my gosh, not Larry. And I've heard, and you can tell more, elaborate on this, but someone told me that when he was going for chemo, that he would literally get up and entertain the other patients that were there for chemo with his poetry
his
story.
He would just reach out to them, and just, you know, and wanted to make sure they were all right. In fact, Belinda, I think my favorite story was toward the end of his life when he was in the hospital. And there was a cleaning lady that would come in, and he was in a great deal of pain, but he always asked how she was and what could he pray for her. And she told a doctor after he passed away, she said, when I went into his room, I could forget that I was just the cleaning lady.
Oh, wow. Wow. So he gave her that gift of feeling valued.
Yes.
That someone
exactly.
cares about her.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, that was
yeah,
Larry.
He just had that gift. And his sense of humor never faltered either when the doctor told him that he had cancer. And he said, Larry, it's all over your body. It's in your kidneys. It's in your liver. It's on your lungs. It's everywhere. And Larry looked at him in that way that he had, and he sat there a minute, and then he said, well, Doc, that just plays heck with my organ donor card, doesn't it?
Oh.
And the poor doctor didn't even know what to do. But then Larry
that.
Said some, yeah. Then he just said something amazing. He said, you know, Doc, you're an option, but Jesus Christ is my hope. I'll be okay.
Oh, wow. Well, I remember speaking with him briefly, and I don't even, it wasn't, I didn't run into him again, but we talked on the phone, and I don't even remember now why
you
did.
You sent that sweet tape, the Amazing Grace tape. You sent that CD to him.
Okay.
And he would listen to it, and it would just wash over him, and he called you to thank you for that.
Because I remember talking about, and I will never forget, because he said, sister, don't be sad for me, because either way, I win. He said, if the Lord heals me, what a testimony mm-hmm. I have. And if he doesn't, I'm going to be with Jesus. He said, so
yes.
Either way, I win. So don't be sad for me. He was
That's
just
right.
a remarkable man. Well, you were sharing with me a couple of poems that I'm going to have you read. One of them right now that he
uh-huh.
wrote in those last months of his life. And this first one is called Trust. Would you
yes.
read that for us now?
I will. What I can't see beyond the tears you've laid out ahead for years. I want to run and question why, but that route leaves me drained and dry. So, Lord, the answers lie with you, and also there are the questions, too, for you to ask, for you to know, and you'll tell me what I should know. And in each day of cloud or fair, you will find I have been there. With one question to impart, do you wear me in your heart? If you answer, yes, I do, child, I have a prize for you. Peace beyond the why is yours, as long as trust in me endures.
I rode up from the valley, high above the fields and the fences, just to watch the storm clouds gather, see the lightning, how it dances on those wild and windy ranges, through the ghosts of unshod horses, my faith in my pony to carry me, and I hold the reins of glory in my hand, in my hand. I hold the reins of glory in my hand. Cold white water laughing through the canyon, hear the whisper of the evergreen. Could it be the master calling? Sing the songs of freedom to the rhythm of the saddle. My faith in my pony to carry me, and I hold the reins of glory in my hand, in my hand. I hold reins of glory in my hand, and I will ride forever through the peace that comes from the silence. The faintest trail is all I'll ever need. I just follow in the footsteps of the one who came before me, and he has touched everything I see. In my hand, in my hand, I hold the reins of glory in my hand, in my hand, I hold the reins of glory in my hand, I hold the reins of glory in my hand.
Oh, there's our Jean again. Love her.
Yes.
Love
her. Oh, don't you?
I do. And she, you guys work a lot together in your ministry, Cross Your Heart Ministries, which is your women's ministry. And I read that I thought that started after Larry had died, but I just read with the bio that you sent that actually just was in its infancy when you lost Larry.
Right. Yes. It had been going right at a year. And then, and he'd been so supportive and was so excited about it. And was excited about Jean and I getting to work together and minister together. And then he was, then that happened. He was diagnosed with the cancer. And we realized then that the ministry was taking on a whole new complexion.
Oh, it does, because it's hard to relate to widowhood until you've actually been through it and the devastation and how paralyzing it was. That was my experience. I just felt paralyzed. I couldn't think. I couldn't. Everything felt like I was slogging through this foggy mud or something. It's just I couldn't. I don't know how you felt or not, but it was.
Yes,
it's really exactly that.
The word tells us that two shall become one, and so part of you has left and you've suffered more than just the loss of your spouse. You've also lost who you were when you were with them. And that's just as devastating, because you're like, I have to find out who I am now. I don't know who I am. I don't know how to do life without him. And so how do I learn to be who I am now?
And that's quite a journey. So
yes,
how did that... you said that impacted the ministry, and I so admire that you kept on with your ministry.
Yes.
You didn't
shut
it down and go, I have to regroup.
No.
I have to figure out if I even want to do this. It's like you revved it up from that.
We did. We revved it up. In fact, 2 weeks after Larry died, he had been scheduled to speak at a laity banquet for the Methodist Church. And they asked me if I would speak in his place since he had died. And that was 2 weeks after he died. And I still, I look back and I know that only the grace of God empowered me to do that. And I tell you, for me, Belinda, it was healing. And I realize now that this is still my passion. I don't ever want people to have the idea that God cannot be trusted. And that is the heart of Cross My Heart Ministries is, and I believe that God, when Larry died, a friend of mine told me, she said, you have now earned the right to be heard. And I have never, I've never forgotten that. And if we're going to minister to the wounds and hurts of others, then we have to be willing to admit that we too have had wounds and hurts, and that only the grace of God can heal and restore.
You know, that is so true. And I think people who are suffering, they don't want our sympathy, but I think they welcome our empathy. You know, I've been there. I know where you've been. And I'm thinking of a dear friend of ours. I think you know Paul Harris, and he wouldn't mind me mentioning his name. I know, but a couple of years ago, there was a horrific car accident that took his father and his daughter, and they were hit by some guy on drugs. They were rear-ended. I mean, it was just horrible, just a horrible, horrific accident. And he was in trying to go through some counseling to try to deal with the loss and the grief and the anger and all of it. And the counselor said, you know, I know how you feel. And Paul, I will never forget this. Paul just said, he looked at him and he said, so you know how it feels to look back and see your father die in your mother's lap and see your daughter with her head on backwards? You know how that feels? You know, and so, I mean, that's harsh and hard, but it's like the one who does know how that feels is our Lord. He knows
that
feels. And
he's the only one.
He's the only one. And then, and if you look at what we go through on this earth, the different trials and struggles and loss and horrific things that we go through, if you look at that like you did, you take that hurt and you turn that into how can I be the balm and the salve on someone else's hurt, because they will listen to me because they know I've been there. that I have
exactly.
walked the path. So then,
that's right.
then you can validate what they're feeling, and you can give them hope, because if they made it through, I can make it mm-hmm. through. So it's
amen.
It's a wonderful gift, and you wonder. Mm-hmm. I really think that's why the Lord allows us to go through these things.
It is. It's why He went through what He did. He identified with us, and how can we do any less than be willing to identify with His people? And what matters, those things that matter to God must matter to us, and the people that God loves, we must love. And the interest that He has in them, we have to have that same interest. I love in Matthew mm-hmm. where it says, Jesus says, I have compassion on these people because they're like sheep without a shepherd.
Mm. And they just need the guidance. It's just mind-boggling to me that the Lord was willing to come to earth and go through everything He did.
Yes, yes, yes.
He did not have to do that. That was His choice. He chose that. That's
yes,
still
exactly.
Just
willingly.
Makes me
yeah, it pleased
yes.
Him to do so. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, it pleased Him
oh,
to do
my.
It.
Well, but on the good note, the Lord always, when He shuts a door, He opens a window. And I know for my side, I know that I was not looking for marriage. I was not looking for someone to fill that space. When I lost my mm-hmm. late husband, I was just ready to walk the rest of my path of my life, just loving my kids, loving the Lord, doing what I do, and
mm-hmm.
just staying focused on that. But the Lord had other plans and brought an
sure
incredible, wonderful man into my life just out of the blue. And that, I think that's kind of what the Lord did with you as well when He brought Frank into your life. Can we kind
yes.
of just talk a little bit about that?
Well, it was totally a miraculous thing. Frank is not computer literate. He makes no he doesn't even pretend to be. And we would have never met if I was depending on eHarmony. I think another mutual friend of ours, like I said, Abby, I went back up. Abby had come to me, and she was just 8 years old when her daddy died. And I'll never forget the look in her eyes about 2 weeks after he was gone. And she said, who's going to teach me to ride? And who's going to teach me how to be a cowgirl? And who's going to pray for me?
Oh.
And when an eight-year-old asks you that, you've got to be very careful. And I just said, I don't know, honey, but I know God knows, and I know we can trust Him. And
wow.
Sure enough, through miraculous events, and maybe we'll tell those some other time, but through another mutual friend, Carol Roberts and Dan Roberts. Carol, by chance, of course we know it was, and nothing happens by chance, she called up here to Colorado to talk to Frank Waitley about some other things, and then they started talking about Frank had lost his wife of 42 years to cancer. And
wow.
as they began to talk, Carol said, you sound like a friend of mine. And he said, well, maybe I can call her and encourage her. And obviously he was very encouraging. Because here I am. But the thing I want people to know is that besides the fact that he's an incredibly wonderful, wonderful man, he was an incredible, wonderful daddy to Abby. And not only did she learn to ride and be a cowgirl, but they won the dad's team rope in 3 years in a row.
Oh,
after
my
we
goodness.
Moved up
Yay.
Here. So,
that is
so God, yeah. It is just an amazing story of how God can take the pain and loss and the grief and the horror, and He says, watch this. And then
watch
He does
it.
Something wonderful. Exactly.
One of the things I most love to watch the Lord do is just the beauty for ashes. I just love to watch Him do that. Yes, every
mm-hmm.
time. Well, we are definitely going to have you back on the show so we can talk more about kind of bring from Frank forward.
Oh, that would be great.
That will be really fun. We definitely have to talk about that. But right now I would love it if you would read the other poem that you were shared with me. And this
All
is
right.
called For the Body of Christ.
Yes. When we stand in fear and loss and grief takes over control, that's when beloved Jesus comes to fill and ease our soul. On that hill so long ago, He took our longest days, and now beside us in His yoke, He'll ease our burdened ways. Mourner, let Him have the load He paid the price to haul. Let Him tote it to the cross, where there He paid it all. And there within the shadow of that wondrous, tragic tree, fall and cry before the One who once hung there for thee. then see how long it takes him to reach that nail-scarred hand to pick you up, caress your wound, and take you from this land of bitterness and sorrow where groan drowns out the moan and lays you in green pastures but leaves you not alone. For look around you, favored, there's others of his sheep who clamor to surround you, who've lots of love to heap. Upon your weary shoulders, they long to dry your tears. They have the chance to offer what Christ gave them for years. So hurting one, receive it. Drink deep and eat your fill of everything they offer, because it is his will. For someday in the future, what he has given you, another will be needing, and you'll know just what to do. Because you let him love you and gave him all your pain, he now can use you fully when he works his power again.
Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Merciful to me, you always see me through. When I cry out, my enemies will turn. You are most high, I'll always praise your word. Whenever I'm afraid,
when I'm afraid,
I know you are near. With me all my days, my every need you hear. You delivered my soul and have made me.
That song, wonderful, Eli Barcy. Mm-hmm. Had you heard that before, Andrea?
I hadn't, but oh boy, is that fitting for what we're talking about.
Isn't it? Now, don't you love how the Lord works all this together?
I love it. That's why I just don't worry, because I'm always going, Lord, you've got this.
Yes, I'm glad he does, because boy, half the time I don't feel like I do.
We don't. We don't. So it's a... That's right. Larry used to say I just show up and look confused. And so, isn't that the truth?
It is. Well, it has been so marvelous to have you on the show, and we're going to have you back and talk more about your ministry and what's going on with that and where you see that going.
I would love that.
we have so much more to talk about, Andrea, so definitely have to have you back on. And but in the meantime, can you tell people how to get hold of you and find more about Cross Your Heart Ministries and how they can get you to come to their church or speak to their women's group? Where will they find this information?
The best way to go is to go on the web to AndreaMcWhorter.org, because that's the name of the ministry, with Andrea McWhorter Ministries. And so if they'll go to AndreaMcWhorter.org, they will find everything they need to find. Or they can also go to AndreaMcWhorterMinistries@gmail.com.
Great.
And that McWhorter is M-C-W-H-O-R-T-E-R. And,
well, anybody out there, if you are looking for someone to come into your church and host something and to have a women's weekend or a special women's event, you will not go wrong bringing Andrea in. As you can tell, she's delightful and so sincere. And so the Lord is just shines through you. And
Thank you, Belinda.
Wonderful.
Oh, I forget, too, we're on Facebook, too. They can go to Cross My Heart Ministries on Facebook.
There you go.
We're Cross My Heart Ministries on Facebook.
There you go.
Yes, kind of slowly kicking and, kicking and screaming, but I forget about that. But we are on Facebook, so like us on Facebook.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to close with Gene doing one more song, and it's one that Larry wrote, and I actually heard him do this in Monterey just before we lost him, and what a wonderful song. And can you set this up a little bit? It's called I'll Meet You at the Throne.
Yes, when he wrote that song, the reason he wrote it, a dear friend of ours, his wife had passed away from cancer, and he was just devastated. And he came to Larry about 2 months after she died, and he said, Larry, I know that I'll see her in heaven. He said, but heaven's such a big place. How will I find her? And Larry said, go look for her at the throne.
Oh.
And so he went home, and that's when he wrote the song, I'll Meet You at the Throne.
Well, you know where to find him when you get there, don't you?
Yes, I do.
So, well, listen to I'll Meet You at the Throne.
Thank you.
Dear friend, we've been through many miles and years. We know each other so well. There's stories between us that bring smiles and tears, and secrets that we'll never tell. But the one who has known us before we were born and gave us each other as friends, we'll call one to heaven and leave one forlorn, but that's not where fellowship ends. I'll meet you at the throne, where our crowns we'll lay at his feet. Let us never forget there's a rendezvous set, where once again we'll meet, where we'll sing, holy, holy, and worthy is he who has called unto himself his own. Be it first you or me, let us here now agree. I'll meet you at the throne. If I go before you, please don't be despair. It's where we long to be. The mansion is finished, our Lord has prepared, and there it waits for me. All the angelic beings and saints gone before will shout when those gates I walk through. In heaven there's plenty of room for one more, for your place is waiting. Forget there's a rendezvous set, where once again we'll meet. There we'll sing, holy, holy, and worthy is he who has called unto himself his own. Be it first you or me, let us here now agree. I'll meet you at the throne. Be it first you or me, let us here now agree.
Well, what a pleasure it was to have Andrea on, and we are definitely going to have her back. So much more to delve into with her. What a treasure. Well, today's scriptures are in Deuteronomy and Genesis, and I just really felt led to talk about that the Lord is always with us, and no matter what we think we're walking through, no matter how hard it looks, that He is always, always there, and that He will take what the enemy has intended to tear us down and destroy it, and He can turn that all around and make it into something beautiful, and not only something beautiful, but something that will uplift and help others. And in Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, "The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." And in Genesis 50:20, it says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." So wherever, if you're going through a difficult time right now and something you just, "I just can't handle this, I just can't get through this," just reach out, hang on to the Lord's hand, delve into the scriptures and find those nuggets that will just shore you up and just reassure you, and just trust that the Lord is with you. He will get you through this, and it will be better on the other side. And so until next week, I hope you have a blessed, blessed, blessed week, and we look forward to seeing you again.
Blinded by the weight of life, I wonder, does He hear? I feel so far from His precious peace, but choose to believe He is there. For what is faith but trusting God when we cannot see or perfect is gold, strong as steel. I rejoice in the faithfulness of the Lord. I rejoice in the faithfulness of the Lord. Our despair. I rejoice in the faithfulness of the Lord. I rejoice in the faithfulness of the Lord. So cast aside the they must flee at your command. For in the face of God's pure love, no evil thing can stand. I rejoice in the faithfulness.